All this hour, we are going to be looking at different pro-democracy movements and protests throughout the Middle East. And we're joined this hour by Zachary Lachman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. Good morning, Zachary.
Good morning.
We want to start in Bahrain, and we have Michael Slackman with us, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Michael, I understand that that getting a cell phone signal out of Bahrain this morning is a little difficult.
Yeah, well, I'm in Sulaymaniyah Hospital, so the signal is a little bit, it isn't very strong here as well. And quite a bit of a scene, too.
You are in the hospital. I assume that you are checking on. You are in the hospital. I assume checking on the conditions of perhaps some protesters who may have been wounded this morning.
Right. There were hundreds of people admitted to the hospital, and dozens, if not hundreds more, who were just treated here. There are three bodies in the morgue now. One with a gunshot wound to the head. Two killed by shotgun blasts. At least two of the victims were sleeping in Pearl Square yesterday when they were killed. The surgeons here tell me there are several more upstairs in critical condition.
And these were riot police that the government sent to clear the square using tear gas, percussion grenades, clubs. We were told they're using rubber bullets, but clearly if some people have been killed by shotgun blasts, they were also using live ammunition.
When we were at the scene last night, we were able to confirm that they had opened fire on the sleeping crowd with percussion grenades and tear gas, as you said. It's clear from the discussions I had with paramedics, doctors, victims, and loved ones of those victims that the police opened fire with shotguns as well. We did see patrols of people with shotguns, but I didn't know they were using them until now.
Michael Slackman of the New York Times, is the square clear now? Is Pearl Square clear, as some people in the government have said?
Oh, it's clear of protesters. It's full of police and police vehicles. Yeah, it's definitely clear.
So
it
what?
It has to be clear. They fired so much tear gas in last night, it was just impossible to get even within a block of the square.
So what are the plans of the protesters that you're speaking to now, are the families of the victims? Do they have plans to continue protests?
Look, I think things here are very fluid. The initial outbreak of this demonstration was, for the most part, spontaneous. People are kind of making this up as they go along. Outside in the port where the ambulances pull in, there are hundreds of people who had been in the square last night, and they alternate between sleeping out of exhaustion and chanting. The last time they chanted, hundreds of them were chanting "Death to Khalifa," which references the royal family.
So do you think in this, we don't really know in this particular case if the government crackdown has actually worked in terms of tamping down the protests, or if once the violence of last night has been put behind the protesters and things have settled down a bit, if the protests will begin again?
I mean, the thing is, the question is, will the government allow any space for peaceful demonstration? They seem to be willing to do that for 2 days and then appear to have panicked as the crowd surged. I mean, at one point, there were tens of thousands of people packing that square, and perhaps they were afraid, of a full-blown uprising. I don't know what their thinking was, but clearly within the regime, there were some people who were saying, let's give them space to protest and vent their anger, and ultimately, though, a hard-line vision of how to deal with this took hold.
You are still at the hospital. How far is the hospital from the square, and are we talking about a place in which it's crowded with people coming in with injuries?
The people were brought in with injuries last night. Dr. Sears said that, in fact, the police made it difficult, at times impossible, to get ambulances to the scene. People have made it here on their own in other vehicles. There were reports from some of the victims. I have not been able to confirm that some of those shot were thrown into refrigerator trucks and brought I don't know where. At this point now, it's mostly families coming to look for loved ones and a lot of angry people mourning those who've been killed.
All right, that's Michael Slackman, of course.
Kind of the alternative to the square.
Michael Slackman is a foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He is speaking to us from a hospital in Bahrain. Also with us all this hour is Zachary Lachman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. And Zachary, I'm wondering if you can kind of help us to explain what exactly the protesters want in Bahrain, because we're talking about a very different country from either Tunisia or Egypt.
Here we have a religious difference, which is important. The ruling family, the Al-Khalifa family, is Sunni. But they rule over a largely Shi'i population, which has been excluded largely from political power, which has been discriminated against. And so you have a protest movement which is demanding essentially equality and participation in government for the Shi'i majority. And this has been an issue which is going on for decades and certainly has escalated in recent years. And these people are again, looking to Egypt, which is a largely Sunni country, but insisting that, like the Egyptians, they should have their rights in government.
Now, we talked a lot about how the protests in Egypt were largely not religious and were very much about civil rights, were very much about economics. And I'm wondering if that's the case in Bahrain, or because of this religious divide between the ruling elites and the vast majority of the populace, if religion is going to play a much larger role here.
Certainly the protests can take on a religious tone, but essentially this is an issue of democracy and civil rights as well. The ruling Al-Khalifa dynasty basically runs the show and has, again, excluded Shi'is, the great bulk of the population, from government positions, from access to resources, and from political participation. So I wouldn't overemphasize the religious element. This is, again, a popular struggle for democracy and participation and rights.
But as we've heard a number of times, the army and the police force is largely made up of often foreigners, people who've come in and been hired by the government to work in law enforcement. And so as opposed to Egypt, where we kept hearing the people in the army are one, that is not the case in Bahrain.
That's right. And this will be a more difficult struggle. And it also could be that the regime in Bahrain has learned from the example, or learned a certain lesson from the example of Egypt, that they need to crack down hard and early, not allow the protesters to gain a foothold in a square in the center of the city, and use maximum repression quickly to try to drive them off the streets and not allow this to build. It's not clear, however, that'll work. That radicalizes people when that kind of repression happens, and we may be seeing that happen as well.
Zachary Lachman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. We are talking about the protests in Bahrain, in which riot police came and fired on protesters as they were sleeping early this morning. We're going to be talking about all of the countries in the Middle East in which there are protests going on throughout this hour.